Okay, call to order for the Waterville City Council regular meeting, November 4th, 2025. All are present, council.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, approval for the agenda and any additional items?
I'll make a motion, we approve the agenda with the additional item.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Approval of the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion, we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, number four, public hearing on assets. We can open these up all at the same time, I believe, is what we were talking about. A, 2025 delinquent utilities. C, 2025 delinquent refuse and recycling assessments. And E, 2025 delinquent charges for services. And then we will open the public hearing for this.
Yeah, we'll open the public hearing for the delinquent utilities. Ask anybody to come forward for that that wishes to speak. Then we move on to refuse and recycling, and then on the delinquent service charges.
Okay. All right.
I'll make a motion that we open the public hearing on assessments. Is that done?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Would anybody like to address the council?
I would. I received a notice of delinquent.
Please give your name and address.
Laura Hoffman, 316 Common Street. And it was going to be assessed to my property taxes, and we just moved in, and this is not our bill. So. I don't know what to do.
So you had delinquent utilities?
It's, the property did, not up there.
So the delinquent utilities stay with the property? So, and Jason probably asks us, but you want to check with your closing agent and see if they escrowed anything or if they made anything.
Okay.
May not have even disclosed it to you.
It could have been, I don't recall.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's not anything that we will be able to do with it here tonight. Let me give you my name and number, and I want you to call me tomorrow. And we'll see if we can find a way forward for you. Who did the closing? Or where, which town did the closing happen?
Faribault.
Faribault, okay. Yeah, there were a number of closing companies over there, so just offhand, I wouldn't know who the closing company was, but I would tell you, we round up, you should have gotten a thick folder, basically called closing packet for that transaction. Round that up, take a look at it. But, you know, before you leave here tonight, let me give you my contact information and say, call me tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep.
Anybody else like to address the council?
Okay, so then we do these one at a time.
Do we want to, Jason, do we need to single that particular one out?
I wouldn't at this time.
Okay.
No, because he's going to deal with that, yeah. But that's right, I mean, goes on record as being delinquent.
Correct.
Until you change.
Correct.
Yeah.
What are the charges for services? What do we charge? What does that mean?
That would be anything from fire charges to impounds to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just kind of miscellaneous charges.
But we do these one at a time, so let's get that first one taken care of here. I'll make a motion that we approve Resolution 2025R, 2024-034, adopting 2025 delinquent utility bill assessments.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
If they pay these off before the end of the year, is that?
Then it does not go.
It doesn't go on.
Until December 31st.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then if anybody has the refuse and recycling assessments, they should come forward, right?
Would anybody like to address the council? Okay.
And then I'll make a motion, we adopt resolution 2025-R-035, adopting delinquent refuse and recycling assessments.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Would anybody like to address the council on E-2025 delinquent charges for services? Okay.
If there are none, I'll make a motion. We adopt resolution 2025-R-036, adopting 2025 delinquent charges for services assessments.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, moving on to B, body cams. Number A, body camera and squad camera purchase approval payable in the 2026 budget.
Did we have to make a motion to close the public hearing?
Oh.
So if you did not.
Yeah, so we gotta close.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right, five old business, number A, letter A, body camera and squad purchase approval.
Sorry. Good evening. Real quick, obviously everyone I think is well aware of what a body cam and a squad cam is, basics of it. Teresa did print out and provide all you with, it's Axon is the company that oversees it all. In that quote is, it's a 5-year payoff plan, monthly amounts for every year. There's a small amount this year just to get everything ordered, and then should be here by December. We're the only agency in this county that doesn't have body cams and squad cams. We're probably one of the last agencies in Minnesota that doesn't have it. There's literally times where State Patrol calls and ask for cameras and we tell them we don't have it, and you can hear the shock over the phone. And it protects the officers that work, you know, typically by themselves, to protect the citizens. It gives crucial evidence in cases. And this quote would cover a squad cam and both squads we have currently. It would cover 6 body cams, one for each officer and one for the part-time to share, and it would cover 6 tasers as well. And halfway through the 5 years, they give you all the newest stuff that's in the quote. So if they go from body cam 10 to body cam 11, you get the 11. And then at the very end of the 5 years, they upgrade you again. So, and then they make sure you have all the new stuff in working, and then you send the old stuff back. That's how this quote would work. And then, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just long overdue. And when I talked to my officers, when I got the opportunity to take over, this is on everyone's list. This is, everyone's in favor of it. Everyone is on board with it, and I think it just protects everyone.
Was there an additional cost for each upgrade? I didn't see
no,
that.
No, it's all in the quote. That's just how they, it's just how they do it. So that you don't need to constantly be looking for the newest and greatest. And with the tasers as well, I was gonna touch on that. Our tasers, like any great business, things become obsolete, so you have to buy the newest one, and our tasers will not, we won't be able to buy parts and pieces for them. Basically, starting now, whatever they have back in inventory, we can still get, but pretty soon, we're not gonna be able to get new cartridges, new batteries, so that's why we need to make that move as well, so.
Does this quote include all the software and storage necessary for?
Yeah, basically everything's in the cloud now.
Okay.
That's still, I mean, really there's very little upgrade. I've talked to Jeff Nice, our IT guy. He's aware of everything. We've had a how it's installed and what will be the new PD so that everything can be plugged in and ready to go. It includes installation in the squads for those. Yeah, I mean, it's basically all inclusive.
Is this for the new pickup and the white squad?
Correct. And with the new pickup, I did have the installers. Basically, it's going to be plug and play. They made it sound like I could even install it. I won't. But, I mean, he said I put all the wires. They're the same colors that Axon uses. It should be the easiest install, according to him, that there ever was. So, yeah.
What was the quote? I didn't...
It's 105,960 over 5 years.
How much?
105,960 over 5 years.
So 20,000 a year?
21.
Yep.
21 change.
Do you have any choices for companies to go through, or is this the company?
Not really. This is, I mean, there are, but this is the company that, I mean, basically this is the company that only does tasers, and then just the package, everything is, it's by far the best.
And everything is compatible with all the other agencies on the facility?
Yep, basically. I mean, the county uses WatchGuard, I believe it is, but most everyone else uses Axon, and everything is very easy to share. And
yeah.
Yep.
And Jason, this is something we really have to do?
Well, I wouldn't say we have to do it, but as Bob indicated, as Chief indicated, your municipality is really the only one in this area that doesn't have it. And I will tell you that in terms of prosecuting cases, your best evidence comes from that body cam footage.
Sure.
And it has almost become elementary now in any jury trial that a juror is going to want to see that. And when they don't see that, they really start to question, what is this all about? And then it falls back just on officer credibility. On domestic assaults, they're typically the most difficult case to prosecute. You have a victim that typically recants within a couple of weeks. And if you have that body camera footage, that's your best evidence.
Sure.
A lot of times you get the broken glass, tipped over chairs, the drunk disorderly behavior, which it's much different to read it in a report than to see it on a video. And so that body camera footage is the best footage that you can want. And then it also really protects the officer in some of these critical incident situations where it's the officer's word against a suspect's word. And you know, it's been my experience, I've been doing this for 24 years, that you know, there's always two sides to every story, but it's on video, it's a whole different ballgame. You guys don't have that.
Sure.
I'll tell you that one bad lawsuit here is going to cost you more than 100,000, whatever it is, 20,000 a year. One bad lawsuit here could be $1 million just in and of itself. Do you have to do it? No, you don't have to do it, but should you do it? You guys will decide that. You know, it's a lot of money, no question about it, but unfortunately, it's not 1983.
I think this would help for officer retention, too, and I honestly don't want to be here on the city council and say we're the only town that doesn't have this.
It's pretty much industry standard at this point, and it does provide a lot of protection for the officers, especially in the use of force incident.
I think we've kind of been holding out hope that maybe the state would come along and offer some funding.
Yeah.
Well, we've been waiting, and you know, it seems like Greater Minnesota, we can't get anything out here.
No.
You're in Seven County Metro, you know, and
yeah,
whatever you want, you know. And so it's, and I don't need to get into that, but I don't foresee any state funding coming for this. So it might be a situation where we just have to bite the bullet, so to speak. And again, it's $20,000. That is a lot of money. Do you have to do it? No. Can you push it off another year? Yeah, probably. But
Teresa, did we figure this into the budget for next year?
We did for 2026.
So the 2026 payment in January would be okay.
And
2025 budget, whatever we spend for 2025 would be a prepaid expense for the 20, it would still be in the 2026 budget.
I'm going to make a motion that we approve the body camera and squad car purchase as written and proposed by Chief.
I second that motion.
Could I ask a question first? Have you looked into, are there any grants or anything like that?
That is something that we are going to try to look into, yes.
Okay.
Amy's on light duty for currently, so that's something that I did put on her to-do list, and that is something we will look into for any, to offset this in any way we can, yeah.
I would think there might be something out there.
Yeah, okay, definitely.
What was your question?
Have they looked at any grants or anything like that?
I know it's not my job to look for grants, but I'll tell you that I have been watching. And not just within the past 6 months, it's something that has been kind of on my radar for the past several years. Again, getting funding out here is a real challenge.
That public service fund money, did we use all that already?
The COVID fund?
It was something, the money that we had for like the fire, the relief, I don't remember.
Public safety money?
Yeah, yeah. Was that all used up?
We did use it up.
Okay.
But we applied it so that we could zero the dollar amount.
I apologize for not asking that question earlier.
No, it's all right.
So we have a
motion. There's always time for discussion after the motions.
So we have a motion and a second.
Yep.
And to approve the body cams. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Chief. Okay, B, appraisal and sale of property.
So the appraisals came back. Say that the appraisals were about $147,000 more than the county assessed value. And so now that you know what those dollar amounts are, I'm looking at guidance as far as, you know, how you want to go about advertising, selling those properties. I did put in your packet there something that the city of St. Peter did, and they did RFI, request for proposals, in which they put their advertisement out, and then it was based on more than just solely the top asking price. So they looked at theirs as far as what dollar amount was and what impact it would have on the community. Is it going to bring more jobs? Is it going to, you know, increase services, those kinds of things. So I'm not sure if that's the route you wish to go on this, or if you want to just list them for sale.
I don't think it would be a bad idea. Yeah, one of them is a pretty much a historic building, although it's not on the registry. So it'd be nice to see what ideas are out there, and it's not always about the highest bidder, as well as better, it's about the most responsible bidder. So
the two that I would be looking at would be the fire hall and the police station right off the bat. The fire hall would have to go out with the notification that it probably would not be able to be occupied until after April. That's when the move-in date is supposed to be, so whoever would be looking at it would need to know that, you know, that they wouldn't be able to take possession of it until then. As far as the city hall, we're still getting all of our records out of there, so that may take a little while yet before we would actually have our building cleaned out and have it ready to go.
And that really can't be sold until the library is out of it, also, correct?
And we have to have a plan for that also. Yeah.
So we can list the two properties, the fire hall and the police station. And then under this, where we don't necessarily choose the highest bidder, but we choose what's best for the community out of there.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
That's a great idea.
Do we want to go with the appraised prices on them, or do we want to vary from that?
I think we should go with the appraised prices. I mean, you got to start somewhere.
I thought they were reasonable.
Yeah, I didn't think they were out of line, actually. I thought the PD was a little low, but, you know, if that's what they appraised it at, that's what they appraised it at.
Sure.
And then is there a timeline limit that you want proposals back in by?
January 1st? Or is that too soon?
I was going to say, that's gotten it really close.
That's too soon?
What are, how long did St. Peter leave theirs open?
I don't recall, I thought it was 3 weeks.
I don't know, it's called February 1st or March 1st.
March, because the building's already been taken, yeah.
Correct, maybe even April 1st.
For the fire hall, for sure.
So if someone makes a proposal, are we going to make a decision on it before then? Or are we going to hold off all decisions until?
Hold off all decisions until you firm on it.
And then if we didn't choose one, would we reopen it again?
Good.
So we could do it sooner and then reopen it, or, I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, I think maybe we should do each property individually, because the PD will be empty much sooner.
I'm not sure.
When will the PD be empty by?
Well, when they get the door to secure it on this Friday, then it needs to be installed. And then after that's installed and so that's secured, we can basically start over anytime after that.
So if we did the PD January 1st or February 1st, that'd give you plenty of time.
Definitely.
You guys are making a decision on it sometime in March. Close date, April. Something like that.
No, February 1st?
Close the bidding as of February 1st. Can we do that for all three buildings, you think? Have we got definite interest on City Hall or the Fire Hall yet?
We have interest in all buildings.
We do, okay. I would say February 1st would be reasonable to have, or by the February meeting, February 1st would be reasonable to have all three bids closed.
I'm not sure. Teresa, what do you think?
I would like to see the fire hall and the PD with a shorter deadline.
January 1st?
The people that I've been speaking with would want to occupy earlier.
Before the end of the year, do you think?
Okay. The one by the end of the year for the police station, and they know the fire call is April. But it would give them, if there was a decision made earlier, then it gives those people that were interested the opportunity to have a backup plan in the event that they weren't awarded.
So January 1st soon enough?
Even December.
How about December 15th? Middle of December, that you have enough time to...
What would the process be for us? We would approve it at a council meeting?
Correct.
Or would we have negotiations, obviously, or they would submit?
I would say that you would do a special meeting just to entertain those proposals and discuss the proposals. We would advertise it in the paper so that people would know that it's out there and available for them to do that. I'd have to kind of use St. Peter's concept and do the RFP proposal. I don't think I'm going to have them do a totally specific form. You know, it'll be a little more generic, what's your offer, you know, so on and so forth. And then give them an area in which they can describe how them purchasing this building is going to help the community.
What they're going to do. I would think, I mean, we're into the first week of November, I would think, you know, if you want to speed the process up by December 1st would be reasonable. We could discuss this at the December council meeting the next night. What are your thoughts? That gives them 3 weeks. And if we don't get anything, we just extend it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
You want to do that for both PD and the fire hall?
Yeah.
And do we need to?
If you wanted to do one for City Hall too, you could just make that one out further.
Do we need to specify listing prices as the assessed values then? Or the?
The asking prices?
Asking, yeah. Do we need to specify those in here or?
It'd probably be a good idea. Yeah.
I would say this is their asking price, and if they're looking to do something below that, does not discredit them. However, they would need to make their case as to why, you know, they're offering $10,000 below the asking price or whatever.
What date would you like the City Hall?
That's.
Do you want to do it at the same time and then just extend it if we don't, if we need to?
No, I think that one can wait longer.
Let's put that one February 1st.
Yeah.
Is 3 weeks enough time to post it, list it, and then still get stuff in a couple weeks?
Yeah, we just have to write up a public notice.
Okay.
And get that out in the paper. We'll put it on the webpage. I do have a list of individuals that will need to be notified because they've already asked, or some of them will actually be calling tomorrow to find out
okay.
what the dates are. And then it'll probably take me tomorrow to clean up that RFP proposal.
Well, I'll make a motion then that we list the PD and the fire hall properties at the appraised values with a closing date for the request for proposals as of December 1st. So we can discuss it at the December 2nd council meeting and list the City Hall at the appraised value with a closing of that proposal as of February 1st.
I second that.
Which one did you put for February 1st?
City Hall.
City Hall, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All three at appraised values.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on. Six citizen time. Would anybody like to address the council? Please.
It's just a quick request. I just, Sumerus, the 450 Cedar Circle, I'm just going to make a request that when the council speaks, if they could increase the volume because it's really hard to hear some of you. So that's all I'm asking.
Okay. Thank you. All right, would anybody else like to address the council during citizen time? Oh, and I didn't, forgot that we laid out the protocol for citizen time as give your name and address and
same as before.
Limit your comments to 3 minutes and then
3 minutes.
We will address.
It might take a little longer than 3 minutes. It might be getting faster. Ron Van Hout, Waterville, Minnesota, 116 Buchanan Street South. And you guys just mentioned that we had appraisals on these buildings. Should we get to what the appraisal was? Fire hall first.
Fire hall was $311,000.
Police department?
Police station is $171,000.
City hall?
$393,000.
And did the appraisal cost anything?
Yeah, they did have to, they expended some money for that. I can't remember exactly how much it was, but yes, they did.
Nobody knows what it was, though?
I don't have that in front of me right now.
Okay.
But we can certainly get that for you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And on this building, what I would like, I don't know if I can get it or not, is some kind of a layout of the building, how many rooms we got, and what we plan on doing with the building, and all the rooms that we have. Is that possible?
For which building?
This building here.
Well, I guess you can, we'd really like you to make your comments and all that and not answer, I mean, all the questions, and then have the questions directed for City Hall, for the offices there, for them to, I'm sure there's some type of schematic for the building.
So I got to ask them over there, I don't know, I'm asking.
Sure, what is it?
I was just wondering about that. Do I have to go ask them? Come in and talk to them?
Repeat your question on what exactly you would like.
I would like a drawing of the building and the rooms.
So blueprint.
Blueprint, if they have one, and what we're going to do with it. That's.
I think we're still evaluating some of the rooms of what they're going to be, what their purpose is going to be. They haven't, all of them haven't been completely evaluated yet. There's some that are spoken for by different organizations that use them, and then the food pantry uses certain rooms, and then some are set up as offices, and the police department offices are getting set up. So nothing is final yet to really give you an actual blueprint of where everything is located right at this point.
Well, so far, what we got so far is that they could put the blueprint and then just mark what they got in there, correct?
I think to do a full blueprint, that's going to cost us some money to do that, and I don't know if that would be money well spent. Do you guys go take a tour?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you could come back tomorrow and someone would walk you through and give you a tour of what everything is and where everything is and what the proposed plans are. But like Jennifer said, I know there's an emergency management now has an office, and Therese has an office, and the pantry has an office, and there's cold rooms for the food for the pantry, and there's freezers for the frozen stuff for the pantry, and there's rooms for the
library.
For the library's going to go, but currently there's rooms for the Lutheran, I forget what it's called, where they cook the meals for the seniors.
Meals on Wheels.
Meals on Wheels, yes. There's offices and rooms for that.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions?
Well, I got questions, but there needs answers, and I guess I can't ask them. That's what you're telling me.
Well, what's in each room? It's expanding process. Okay. So,
you need a boiler person, correct? And they have one that works for the city or two. Are they going to get paid? How is that going to work? Because I know their boiler people make pretty good money as far as I'm concerned.
There's two and they're already on payroll.
Yeah, but do they get extra money for being a boiler operator when they come in and work on the boiler?
Didn't we approve that last meeting, didn't we?
What, wasn't it like $1.50?
$1.50, yeah, I think we approved that last meeting.
Yep.
So they'll get like $1.50 more per hour that they're scheduled to be.
I believe that
would have a hearing.
Yeah.
Okay. And are you guys ever going to have a budget for how much we're going to stick into this place each year?
That would be part of our annual budgeting process.
Okay. Building maintenance.
So that would be called building maintenance? I don't know.
I don't know what it would be called, but it would be part of our annual budgeting process, yes.
Good. Okay. I'll let you go for tonight then.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to address the council?
Dave Chrysler, County Commissioner, live at 455 North State Avenue in West Center. I got to manage this at commission meetings, so now I'm getting it shoved back at me. Fair is fair, I guess. A couple of things. First, a little bit more of a lighthearted piece and good thing. I just want to say congrats to the Waterville football team making it to state, so that's exciting. Actually, I'm going to hope to go to Hastings and see them here Thursday night. Couple of updates. One, we're still refining our budget. Folks now shortly will end up getting their preliminary levy in the mail, but just keep in mind again, that's preliminary, and so we've already identified at least $100,000 out of the chute that we're going to cut out of that before we get to our final, and we're still working on some others, so we'll keep working on that. Again, December 2nd is when we will vote on the final levy for 2026. The other thing I want to let you know, and this is kind of ends up being more in the, since we just got done with Halloween, the scary part, and that is we had some folks from Maurer County come and speak to all of our department heads last week. And what they spoke about is their experience of getting hacked, and so they had a cyber attack, and it was really interesting to listen to firsthand knowledge, especially a county that is kind of similar to our size. They had 28 different computer systems. They were hacked back in June, and they still have three of the systems that are not back yet. And so the cost to them after insurance is going to be north of $1 million. And so it gave us a good wake-up call from the standpoint of making sure that investments in protecting yourself from that standpoint are important to make sure and keep up with. Because there's a limit as to, if you put MCIT as an insurer, their limits are, quite honestly, pretty low. And so just we're learning in that process. We think we've got a pretty good system, but we're going to make sure that we're going to do anything we can. I don't think you can make yourself immune, but you can make yourself harder to hack. And so that's something, again, that we're going to just make sure that we're going to try and protect our systems as best that we can. So again, just a heads up on that if you see some things that come from that standpoint. And then just a little bit of kind of localized things when we look at kind of this government shutdown. I know when I was here a month ago, I said there really wasn't a huge effect. Now that's going to change a little bit from a standpoint, especially if we look at the SNAP program. I know that we've seen, for some of you that may know it as food stamps, but SNAP is the term now. We've seen varying things, even this morning things were changing as to what may end up happening there. I think what settled on as of this afternoon is that there'll be a partial restoration of that, but we don't know when, and we don't know exactly how much. But otherwise, as of the end of last week, those funds were being shut off. Just to let you know as far as what that means just to our county, and folks can take what you want as far as what you, how you look at that impact, but just in the county, we've got about 600, and currently we have 601 households that receive some sort of assistance through SNAP, okay? And on average, it's about $180,000 a month, okay? So that's $180,000 that if, things get shut down or reduced, that ends up being the impact from the standpoint of households that utilize that program just within the county, right? It doesn't come all at once because folks have got a different kind of anniversary date, and so we've got, some that are coming, now. We've got others that will come the next week, the next week, and the next week, okay? So it doesn't all just plain come at once. But it is something that, may have an effect on people. If there's something that some of our grocery stores, quite honestly, may feel a little bit, the longer it goes on, that's something that they may end up feeling. I know our human services has been in contact with food shelves within the county just to see exactly kind of where they're at with trying to meet demand. Just so you kind of get an idea of kind of, SNAP makes up a fairly decent portion of kind of what happens with the food programs. Kind of for every, if you look at $10 kind of spent on food, and compared that to SNAP, food shelves supply maybe 10% of that, okay? And so the food shelves to rely on that to be like, okay, that'll backstop everything, is probably not a realistic expectation, or at least for very long. So it may work for a while, but not for the long term. And then other than that, the last thing I'm gonna leave you with is the County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. We're reaching the deadline now for at least getting input back on the draft. And so if you've done that, fantastic. If you haven't, kind of put that on your to-do list for the next day or two. Take a look at that as far as how it would mesh up with what has been shared from the city. With that, I bet I'm over 3 minutes on the interview.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
All right, would anybody else like to address the council? Okay, I think we can move on. Number 7, new business. A, the fire hall change order. We got 3 things listed on here. Elite Electrical.
So the Elite Electrical change order basically is a decrease. We eliminated some card readers. Tim's Trucking, number 4. Was for storm drainage replacement on Reed Street. Erosion control number 1, we deleted the landscaping, so it's a deduct the fire department so that they will be doing that.
Do we need to prove these individually?
Just that. Make a motion that we approve the Elite Electrical number 2 change order for the fire hall.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I'll make a motion we approve Tim's Trucking number 4.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
I'll make the motion for the change order for erosion control number 1.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, thank you. B, resolution 2025R-037. Mm-hmm. Writing of uncollectible debts.
What does that mean?
It means that we tried to collect on this charge and wasn't able to, and we're not able to assess.
So we just write it off?
We need to write that out with the back of our books.
Yeah, we ran a gamut on that. If we were to file an action in court against this individual, we would have to go where they live, which frankly is quite a ways from here. You would have to pay me to get there, you would have to pay court. For filing fee, that right out of the gate is almost $400. And you know, certainly we would have more into it than what is owed to try to collect on it. And assuming we then win the lawsuit, we get a piece of paper that says he owes us money. Well, we know that anyway, right? Then we get the fun job of trying to collect that. And we've got to chase down assets. We've got to look for bank accounts. We've got to levy on bank accounts. We've got to do the notices. All this and that. And, you know, I'm willing to give you a discount, but I'm not going to do it for free and lose money on this thing. The bottom line is, you know, we have threatened, we have pursued, and it just doesn't make any sense to spend any more money chasing bad money that we may very well never collect. And I've seen many cases where we do chase them all the way 3 miles down the road, and then we get a nice little bankruptcy notice. And so then all of that is for naught. So I would suggest that you simply write this on and leave off, and we move on with life. Now, the very good news is, you know, I've been your city attorney for 7, 8, 9 years. This is really the first uncollectible debt I have had for you. So I think that's a pretty good record so far.
Yeah, I don't ever remember one.
And we have not collected one yet. There have been some that we have sued, and Teresa's had the fun experience of pursuing that. And on that one, we did. And you know, he owed us, I think it was $750, and I'll bet we had $735 into it. We did. We even collected on that one. But on this one, I'm going to put your chances of success at less than 1%.
I'll make a motion. We pass resolution 2025R-037, writing of uncollectible debt.
I would second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Jason.
All right, C, declaring vacancies for emergency management and park board, and authorization to accept applications.
So Margie Jacobson, you approved her resignation. She held two spots, one as an emergency management team member, and then also as a park board committee member. So I'm just seeking approval to go ahead and list those vacancies and get those out.
Do we need a motion or just give you approval?
You can just give me approval to do that.
Anybody
well,
objects?
A motion to do it. I'm sorry.
Oh, do need.
Motion for
approval, okay.
Yes.
All right. I'll make a motion that we give Teresa the ability to post those vacancies for emergency management and park board.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, moving on to D, web page quotes.
Okay, I've done quite a bit of research in the last couple months. I've put a note out to Lehman Associates, and I would like to ask what other cities in the state we're using for web pages, because ours is very outdated and he can't support us anymore. So our web designer told us to start looking for a new one. So I got a lot of feedback. The majority was Municipal Impact, which is actually a pretty good price. It's a $549 one-time setup fee and $1,045 a year, which I believe is only like $100 or $200 above what we're paying the guy we use now, which we're not able to get up to ADA compliance. The second one in line was Munibit. They're a little bit more, no setup fees, but they're $1,548 a year. There's only a couple cities in the state that I found that use the website that got back to me through MemberLink. They said they like it, the customer service is great, transition is smooth, they have what we need. But they are a little more expensive every year. And then I got another one from Civic Plus. They're quite a bit more, but they are more geared towards larger cities. They said they can do smaller cities. They have done smaller cities, but for $3,250 a year and set up for $650, it just doesn't seem like it's a good fit for us. So I would propose going with Municipal Impact. It's very user-friendly. They have excellent communication. If I ever have questions, they have good training. There's a lot of towns that use it. Morristown just got it recently. And I've gone through a lot of websites of these people that are using it. I think it's a perfect fit for us, for a smaller town. And then once we give the okay, after 3 days, we can start designing it. We want to design it from the beginning. We don't want to move everything over from the website because there's a lot of outdated material out there. So and because it is the cheapest too, it just happens to be the cheapest, I think it's the best one for us as we so far.
I like the idea of notifications free of charge that is something that a lot of citizens have been asking for.
We can set up a lot of different notifications. So if they only want to know about weather, they sign up for that. If they only want to know about road closures, they can sign up for that.
Are we talking a text or an email or choice?
Either, however they sign up for. Yep. And it'll, and as soon as you get to the website, if we have something that we need everybody to know when they get there, like snow emergency, it'll pop up immediately. As soon as you get to the website, you X off to get away from it. So so anybody who goes to the website will see that notification right away.
I see Munibit has, they said they offer notifications and a calendar also. Is that something Municipal Impact can do as far as a calendar?
Yep. They will implement a calendar for us, and it's just for us to put out there and say, we have the room reserved for this day, this time, just so people can see what we have available. So yeah, it'll just be a simple calendar, nothing fancy. Nobody really has anything fancy without adding extra support.
Well, thank you for doing all that research. I think our city's website is due for a definite facelift.
We're not in compliance. We need to be come 2026, 2027. And I did get a .gov domain, which we have to have by 2027. We've already got it, so the new company will implement that domain for us too. So. Any other questions?
I'd make a motion that we authorize them to move forward with the Municipal Impact bid and start getting the city's website updated and moved over.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you for all that work.
Thank you, Val. Okay. E, posting, the official posting location.
So the city council needs to decide, since we're in a new building, where we will post all of our notices and our agendas for viewing. My suggestion is just the very first window down there so that it won't clutter up the door, and then there'll be clear view. Anybody can see it in the evening. If we did something inside, an individual wouldn't be able to just come in and off hours and look at the agenda.
First window right off this edge?
First window off the edge over here, yeah.
Are we currently posting things down at Old City Hall yet or not?
No, I've been posting here.
Everything's here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I've been on the left.
Right.
I guess I'd make a motion that we follow Teresa's suggestion to change the official posting location to first window left of the entrance at New City Hall.
Second. Go ahead.
Okay. We'll second that.
Scott's got it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. All right. F is Lutheran Social Services lease agreement.
Mayor, City Council, since the city is now in possession of this building, Lutheran Social Services does rent a small portion of it. Essentially, they had a lease with the prior property owner. We're essentially stepping into the shoes of that owner. Likewise, we'll get to collect those rents. The rent that is currently being collected is $1,600 a month. That is set to increase to $1,650 January 1, 2026, and then January 1, 2027 it goes up to $1,650 per month, and then sometime in 2027 we'll evaluate, you know, the terms for a renewal if the Lutheran Social Services is inclined to do that. I think the intent in buying this building would be to keep those services in place, and so I would ask that the council tonight consider adopting this lease assignment to essentially put us in the same place that the property owner was in when we bought this building. This will continue to allow them to operate out of it and provide the Meals on Wheels program, probably more needed than ever, and it would also provide you with a rental income stream. So you would be getting this rental income stream, and then you're also getting the rental income stream off of the solar system that came with this building. And both of those are substantial.
I think it's a good idea that we just continue this.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't see a negative.
Do we need to make a motion?
You do.
I would make a motion we can continue our lease with Lutheran Social Services, Meals on Wheels.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, moving on to eight, reports, attorney's report.
While I was sitting here, we just got an order in a public nuisance case that we're prosecuting against an individual that owns property next to the city hall. That property owner was not successful in getting that case dismissed. I'll evaluate the judge's order. Looking at it now, there was some legal wrangling that took place. The property owner tried to get that case summarily dismissed. The judge has denied her request, and it's set for what is called a settlement conference on January 14. So this case is going to start to come to a head here, one way or the other. Essentially, what happens at a settlement conference is we meet and discuss settlement. I'm not overly optimistic. Then we'll set it up for a jury trial, and if the individual is convicted, then it's out of our hands, and it is what it is.
So, thank you.
It continues on, but it won't be continued at some point in time. You know, this will come to an end at some point in time. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going anywhere. So, the legal system grinds slowly, but it does grind finely. And at some point, there will be a finality to this.
Thank you for your patience.
It's taking.
You have more than I do.
Thank you. I have nothing else to say.
All right, we'll move on to our engineer's report.
Yeah, just a couple of updates. We did have some pay estimates that were approved by you guys. The street improvements essentially done. I think that project turned out really nice out there. We're just waiting for a little bit of grass to come in. And then we'll get that one finalized. The pickleball court is essentially done, other than the surfacing itself. They weren't able to get that installed on the pavement due to temperatures getting cold at the end of the year. So I just drove by there tonight. I saw all the nets are up, and I think everything looked really good. Tidied up around there. They just need to come back next spring when the temperatures warm up to put that acrylic surface on top of that, and that should wrap that project up. So we've paid, I think, 85% or something of that, and just holding that last bit to get that closed out. But essentially, I thought the contractor did a really nice job there. And then the fire hall, just continuing to work with them as any questions that come up, staking, getting these final surface things done on the site related elements of that, and responding to any questions that come up. So.
Will those nets have to stay up then all winter, or will somebody have to take them down?
I think it's up to you guys on what you want to do.
I think they should come down, yes, for the winter. It looks really nice right now. If you go down there, you can see what it's going to be like. You have to imagine the lines, of course, but yeah.
The finish on the pavement, that doesn't affect the timeline. I mean, we don't have to change anything or approve anything for them that.
Well, I guess they did
give them an extension or anything like that.
An extension. I guess I didn't process any formal paperwork on that. If that's something that you want to do, is put a deadline on that, or we just keep the contract open. We have a retainage, just like any of these projects. Essentially, it's substantially complete. We just don't have that surface, so we're retaining holding payment on that. You know, for some reason they don't come back, you know, we could draw on their bond, and just like any
they get paid up to the certain retainage fee, right?
Yep. Yeah, we have 5% retainage, and then I have not paid 100% of the project. I held back, I think, 10 to 15% plus the 5% retainage, so.
Oh, okay.
But a good, again, a good local contractor, just want right. that surface to get done right.
Right.
And make
right.
sure that, you know, the temperatures got a little cool in the evenings,
yep.
right? You know, we've had nice days, but it's those overnight temperatures, making sure that that surface accepts that right. surface.
Probably better in the spring too. They won't have as many leaves to get out of the way.
Yeah, right. right. Yeah, I saw there was quite a few up there right now.
We won't incur any extra costs due to price increases from next year.
No, it's under this contract. Yep. That's all I had.
Super. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll see. Administrator's report.
Just want to put out a thank you to Margie for all of her work that she's done for the city. Also, Ryan Myers, Sue Myers, and Val Bell have been volunteering painting time down here. And then we do have, I was able to obtain the blueprints for this building on Friday. So we're kind of taking a look at maybe starting some planning processes for what the library wing may look like. So now we have all the mechanicals, know where everything is running, so we'll be able to get a bit of grasp on that. Just working towards your end information, settling in here. Did want to say thank you to Jennifer also for stepping in and doing the food distribution. And if you can maybe during council just give them an update on what you're seeing. Otherwise I can. It's been eye-opening for me to see you know, what need is out there. But I'll let Jennifer bring you guys up to date on that. That's about all I have for right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, my understanding is that's a pretty big undertaking. So
it's not been horrible.
You want to give your...
Give my spiel?
You want to give us some heads up on...
With the donations that we receive, we're still able to purchase product from Second Harvest, which makes a big difference to make sure we don't run the inventory right out to the ground and not have any more. I've noticed the first service that we had, we had like 30 some left over. And then the next one, it was like 20 some, but then this last service that we just had, we ran out. And our numbers, we were at like 180 boxes that we had prepared. And we used every one of those. And this coming one, we're up in the numbers to 192, but I'm kind of fretting about that one now with the SNAP stuff and everything. Because we had like 9 new applicants, I think, last Sunday. And if we get more, it's... So, and then Harold said also that during Thanksgiving they even go up higher, so then we'll probably be going up higher the next one again, just to see how the numbers go. But it's a real fluctuation and not knowing which way to have to go, because you don't want a whole bunch of things left over, because then we don't know. We have places that we can give it to and help, but it's just a lot of extra that comes in that somebody else may have been able to use, so.
Sure. Hard to predict.
Yeah. But yeah. I think more and more people are realizing that we did keep the program running. And the volunteers that we have are amazing. The people, they're just like a machine. They know, they go through and they do their work and they get it done so fast, it just makes my head spin. But I mean, and hopefully we don't tax them to death by all the work that they do. And we hoping to increase our volunteer base a little bit. It wouldn't hurt.
A few
if
more
people
names
more want to volunteer to help, it would be great.
We have volunteer spots, I think, Thursday, every other Thursday, Friday?
Yep. Every other Thursday. The MRCI people came in today. They come in on the Tuesday before the service, and stuff that we put in the box ahead of time, the dry goods out of our storage. And then on Thursday, we get a truck from Second Harvest, and then the people come in, and then they put the other stuff, the produce and stuff in the boxes. And then on Friday, they come in, and they package up frozen stuff that we get from Walmart distribution center, and then they come at 8:30 in the morning, and then at 12:30 they come back, and then they package up the stuff from the fresh stuff that we get from the distribution center. So it's, but they're in circle around and they get it done in a couple hours. It's just blows my mind. If we didn't have them, we'd be hurting.
Yeah, it's fantastic that
yep.
so many of them were willing to stay on and continue
yep.
their work
yep.
with that.
Can I ask, that's a couple times a month, right?
Yep, the second and fourth Sunday.
Second and fourth.
Except in December, we're going to be the first and third Sunday. Because there was five Sundays in November or something that worked out. So then it would be, and we're trying to put out a notice in the boxes this week that December's will be the first and the third, but then we'll go back to the second and fourth again. And we start on the service on Sunday at 3:00. It's like from 3 to 4, but people line up here at 1:00.
Yeah.
They start at 1:00 and sit there. But yeah. And they went through 180 people in that hour. 180 vehicles or whatever. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty obvious the need is there, so I'm glad we're able to continue that.
Yep.
And speaking of volunteers, Teresa's husband Jay has been using his truck and trailer since it started every Friday,
yep.
going to the to pick up the fresh and frozen food, and 3,000-4,000 pounds.
Yeah, we're keeping Jay busy.
Every Friday.
Teresa's always got a honey-do list for him.
The guy at Walmart says, "So you were voluntold." Yeah.
Thank you, Jennifer, for the work on this.
Fine.
Yep. All we need to do is keep the volunteers in a
happy.
Happy and a few more rolling in so they can take time off when they need to and not be too overwhelmed, and hopefully we can continue with the volunteers we have and a few more coming in.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, I did forget something. Just a note to let everybody know that the Brass Quartet is going to be performing here in November. There's some flyers up there. Be the 2:00 on Saturday, whatever day
this
that is,
Saturday.
The 7th, this
the
Saturday.
Eight.
Yeah. They performed here before. They're awesome. I think they're going to be doing some Christmas tunes. This will be their last performance together also, because they're kind of splitting up.
And that's the music in the park thing.
But it'll be in this venue right here.
Okay. And
so
that's open to the public?
Password.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, open to the public.
Right.
They're very good. So help Password, and hopefully we'll get a good crowd for them.
Sounds great.
I have one, if okay. Teresa, when do they pick up the garbage cans that are downtown? When do they empty those?
They usually do those Fridays, aren't they?
Okay, just one, and they're all full.
Okay.
So I think they missed last time or something.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe not all, but at least two of them, because I couldn't put stuff in them.
Okay.
Something that I've noticed too, though, and that happened today, numerous people are putting garbage in all the receptacles all around town.
Okay, so that's maybe what's going
on. And I'm wondering if maybe that
it could be what's going on.
Because, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to check more often to see if they're full.
Quite a few people when you see them doing it looking at you. You're old.
Ouch.
All right. Anybody have anything else?
I'll leave the garage door open for you tonight, Scott.
Well, I got a big garage. I'm good.
Nothing else.
I'll make a motion then to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
You were waiting for me, weren't you?
Thank you very much.